And moving now from politics to that other contact sport, football. With their crushing defeat of the Miami Dolphins this past weekend, the New England Patriots finished their regular season with 14 wins and just 2 losses and are now the number one seed in the AFC. Not bad for a team that lost its powerhouse tight end, Ron Gronkowski, to a season-ending injury, and that began the season without its star quarterback, Tom Brady, because of a 4-game Deflategate suspension. And that's where we'll begin our weekly talk about sports with Shira Springer, WBUR sports and society reporter. Hi, Shira.
Hello.
Good to have you. So with Deflategate behind them, Brady firmly in charge, how does this team look to you?
Looks very good. As I understand, Nate Silver's latest Super Bowl predictions have the Patriots as the heavy favorites. So if all goes well, there are some finger crossings to be done and some knocking on wood to be done. And if, you know, to make sure players stay injury free. But it looks like a fairly easy path to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, in fact, I was reading a story on Fox News which says, quote, the New England Patriots have the easiest path to the Super Bowl. Do you agree? Famous last words?
I'm finding some wood to knock on right now. I agree. I mean, it looks like they're going to have to face either the Kansas City Chiefs or the Pittsburgh Steelers, two very tough opponents. No doubt you never should underestimate Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. But they only have to face one of those teams. They don't have to face them both in a row on two separate weekends. Additionally, the big thing for them is they have home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs, something they did not have last year and something they paid for dearly when they went out to Denver to play the Broncos in the AFC championship game. There may be no tougher place to play than at altitude in Denver, and they learned that or remembered that or were reminded of that the hard way and didn't reach the Super Bowl last year.
Shira, is there any part of you that's surprised where the Patriots are today, given how this season began with Tom Brady's suspension, missing the first 4 games?
No, actually, because I think if you look at Brady and his career, I mean, don't forget, this is the 6th round draft pick from 2000. He has made a career out of proving people wrong, out of defying expectations, out of overcoming the odds. And I also think people felt that, you know, if they got through that 4-game suspension, maybe at 2-2, maybe at 3-1, if they were lucky, and which they were, they got through at 3-1, they'd be okay with once Brady came back. What has surprised me a little bit is how well they have adjusted post-Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski got injured. He's out for the remainder of the season, but it really seems like they haven't missed a beat. I believe they've won, I think it is 7 games to end the season. So they seem like they're just in a really good stretch and have a really good momentum heading into the playoffs.
Good time to be peaking. So,
yes.
All right. So let's turn from Gillette to the Garden, where the Celtics played last night and beat the Utah Jazz. They're 21-14, second in the Atlantic Division. How are they looking so far this season, with a month and a half until the All-Star weekend in February?
They're looking good. I mean, I think people had some higher expectations for them, but I think overall, you know, they could make it be a dangerous team in the playoffs, and that's sort of what you're playing for when you're in the NBA.
All right. Now, there was a kind of strange incident last night where Celtics fans cheered an opposing player on the Utah team during introductions. Shira, what happened here?
Yeah, it was a bit strange. Fans of the Garden did cheer Utah Jazz forward Gordon Hayward during lineup introductions. And you have to understand that Hayward is a potential free agent this upcoming offseason. So there may be a number of Celtics fans who covet Hayward, want to see him in a Celtics uniform next season. And Crowder didn't take this well. He was quite upset after the game. He tweeted about it, and he let it be known that he felt disrespected. In fact, he said this to ESPN.
I heard you cheering before the game. I ain't like that at all.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound disrespect to me from the fans. That sparked a little fire in me.
Yeah, so that did motivate you.
Of course.
And you, 5 3-pointers tied a career high, right? What was going on there?
Be aggressive.
Yeah.
So I was just felt disrespected.
So I felt disrespected. Be aggressive. He ties a career high and goes out and shoots a 5 3-pointer. So I guess it sort of put the fire in his belly, right?
Yeah, I think the Celtics fans have accidentally stumbled upon something. The way to motivate Jay Crowder is to disrespect him because he'll have one of the best, if not the best, games of the season.
That's amazing. Well, listen, bring us back here to Massachusetts, a bit of a bright spot in Shrewsbury, where a basketball coach there has set a record for the most victories in New England high school basketball history. Tell us about this.
Yeah, congratulations to Shrewsbury coach Bob Foley. He picked up his 879th career win on Tuesday. And I just think it's a lovely story because you love to see these coaches at the high school level sticking around long term and taking these young boys and teaching them the important lessons in life and winning while they do that. It's a nice story, particularly when there have been some sports stories of late that have been tinged with some hard news to stomach.
Really, 879 win. One wonders, though, in Shrewsbury if they know anything about losing now and then. I mean, that's an important lesson, too.
I don't think so. It certainly doesn't seem like it.
All right. Well, that's Shira Springer, sports and society reporter for WBUR. Shira, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.